through these agenda items. If there's an item you'd like to comment on, we'll ask you for your comments. We're going to move item, I'd like to propose that we move item D3 forward to the first item. Okay. You know, that works for you?
Yeah.
All right, great. I'll turn it over to staff now.
Okay, thank you, Chairman Steele. I assume most of the people here are the pickleball players of Discovery Bay, and they have contacted Mac, manager of the rec department, and they had asked to engage in a dialogue with the committee regarding pickleball. Of course, that's the chair's call on whether to engage in a dialogue or not. And to give you a little background, I'm going to turn it over to Mac.
Sounds good. Okay, so a little bit lengthy here, but I'll try to be as concise as possible. So just some background real quick. On June 1st, 2016, the Discovery Bay Tennis Pickleball Committee presented a written proposal to the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors and staff as an alternative proposal for the conversion of the Community Center Tennis Courts 3 and 4 to pickleball use. Per the written proposal to the Board of Directors dated April 20, 2016, a committee of local citizens comprised of both tennis and pickleball players had formed an informal committee with the purpose of addressing three basic issues. One, that tennis only be played at the community center. Two, that pickleball should be at Cornell Park. And three, the growth of pickleball in Discovery Bay requires additional court space. The end result of this informal tennis pickleball committee is to offer advice to the town officials and staff related to the proposed modifications for the current community center tennis court facility and the pickleball tennis facility at Cornell Park. The written proposal provided three alternatives, which includes maintaining the current pickleball configuration at Cornell Park and convert the remaining single tennis court at Cornell Park to four additional pickleball courts, while repairing tennis courts 3 and 4 at the community center in a future time when funds become available. So hopefully that was clear. Okay. Fence the community center tennis courts and dog park off from the balance of the park area so that entrance to these areas is open to the public during daylight times throughout the week. And then 3, when funds become available, more extensively fence the pool area to make a swim complex be controlled through the community center building. So in other words, right now the facility, when the gate's locked, you can't come in and do anything. The idea being they would fence it off differently so people who do want to play tennis can come over here just like they do at Cornell Park. It's not fenced, they can go when they choose. On November 15, 2016, staff met with representatives from the Discovery Bay Tennis Program and the Pickleball Program in response to their letter. Sharing of information and ideas occurred with all the parties agreeing to the following. Change the previous decision that the two tennis courts here at the Discovery Bay Community Center be converted to pickleball and instead recommend that they be retained as tennis courts and that they be upgraded as funding may be available and to retain the current configuration of the pickleball / tennis courts at Cornell Park for the time being. And additionally, to the extent that there are remaining PG&E funds left after the conclusion of all the other projects, evaluate whether there is sufficient funding for a midterm solution in addition to the pickleball court space at Cornell Park. Let's see, based on the outcome of that meeting in November, staff brought recommendations forward to the December 7th, 2016 Board of Directors meeting that included maintaining the community center tennis courts 3 and 4 for tennis only, maintain the Cornell Park pickleball court / tennis court as currently configured, and that as the approved list of eligible funds from the PG&E are completed, to revisit the currently approved allocation of funding for resurfacing the tennis courts 3 and 4 and reallocate those funds to finding a midterm solution for the expansion of pickleball at Cornell Park. And so after some board discussion, it was moved at that point, at that meeting, 5-0, to accept the report as information only. So that's kind of a synopsis of where we've been and where we're at. Any questions?
Yeah, it's all about the money.
Good. So I'd like to have the public, if they have 3 minutes, if you have a
kind of our leader now, but unfortunately she has a family issue, so she's not here, so I offer to give you the information. This is an updated usage data that we keep as pickleball players, and and what it is a measure of our pickleball community. Is it's a drop-in situation. Pulling cords, so it's a drop-in situation. So we have people come. We have 85 folks who've actually paid $25 to contribute towards balls and equipment and things to help make it in the courts. But we have other people that just come and play. And of course, public courts, we welcome them, we teach them how to play. And we count all those people. Those are player days. You show up to play on our drop-in days. They're recorded here. People that come on another day and play, of course, not on here. So there's some additional play. But there's 85 of those folks currently for 2017. We've done a little bit of asking around in the tennis community, trying to figure out how many tennis players there are. We think in conversation that there could be roughly the same number. And so we think that in our community, with 9 tennis courts for 85 and 2 pickleball courts for 85, that it's a reasonable suggestion for the board to consider basically going back and adopting the recommendation that staff made to work with us to figure out how to get from where we are now to converting those courts to 4 pickleball courts. Now, I would add to the minutes, when you read the minutes, there's an additional comment. The question was asked, Matt, did that mean convert the tennis court to pickleball? And the answer was yes. That was the, he talks about it, and he read it to it. He didn't quite say that. But in the minutes, that's what it said. And that's the objective of the folks that are here for the pickleball. So we're open to ask us questions, discuss why it wouldn't be, it just seems reasonable to us that we take a look at the conversion and recognizing that we got to figure out how to do it.
Is it possible just for me to ask a question?
Can you please comment at this all?
I can't hear the recording.
I'm a pickleball player. It was commented that this is all about money. I wonder if you could comment on what it would cost to convert the tennis court to 2 more pickleball courts.
1 more.
Pardon?
4 more.
Okay, yeah, 4 more. And
yes.
I'd like an answer to that. And then after that, can this group comment?
Thank you. All right. Any other public comments?
Go ahead. I would like to say I'm a pickleball player as well, a resident of Discovery Bay. I think recreation is an important part of a function that the city provides for its citizens. Basically, the pickleball club is a free program that the city doesn't have to provide any staff for, funding for, other than possibly some pickleball courts. I think that's a big plus, that there's a program actually in place that functions like a swim program or a basketball program or any other type of recreational program as well. So, in essence, the pickleball club provides a free recreation for its citizens, which I am. And as a senior citizen, I think it's important that, we elders have the opportunity to have recreation at a reasonable cost, and in this case, it's extremely reasonable. We pay like $20 a year to come to really have an excellent recreation program where you can get exercise, have social contact, and all those kinds of things. And I think it's extremely important that this expansion happens so that the 85 plus people have the opportunity to continue in this excellent recreational program.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I'm basically a tennis player. I've played both sports, but I'm basically a tennis player. And pretty much the consensus of almost all of the tennis players that play here on the Latia is to put the conversion up at Cornell. There's been a lot of talk about converting the courts that are here, the 3 and 4. We're pretty much in unanimously opposed to that. Pickleball and tennis, they can be played together, but the pickleball sound is very obnoxious to a tennis player. There was somebody using the backboard over the weekend, just a little bit of time they were using the backboard. It really is very distracting. The other side of putting that group together up there with the 6 courts in total just makes more sense from a consolidation standpoint. They can have tournaments up there. It's a very social group. It doesn't make sense to fragment part of them here and part of them up there. So, and I've been out here 41 years. I've seen a lot of changes and know a lot of people, but everybody's pretty much in consensus on the plan that Mac outlined first.
Do you live by the park?
No, I live on Deep Water.
Have you guys talked to the neighbors at Cornell? Because
I've got a good friend that
they all play tennis there.
I don't know why. They come down here and play the ones I know.
It's very lightly used up there at Cornell.
Comments, please.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
How many of you who are sitting up there have gone down on a Saturday morning or during a tournament and watched what's happening with the pickleball? No one?
I played tennis and drove by there, so I played tennis at Cornell last week, and I play there weekly.
Well, the only thing I'll say is, if you have, I think since you're, I'm assuming you're making the decision, I'm not clear on that, who's making the decision, but I would recommend that this Saturday you go down at 8 o'clock or 8:30 or between 8 and 10, and you'll see a lot of people having a lot of fun, socializing, getting exercise. I play tennis on these courts for years and years, but I can't play tennis anymore. So, and I just started playing pickleball. Double knee surgery, and I've been looking forward to go back to pickleball, but it is getting crowded.
Any other comments?
Just one regarding the tennis. I'm not sure how many tennis players there are actually here. I know some of you are tennis players that moved over to Diamond Hills. I'm not saying any of you out here playing with us on the weekends, but the numbers are really dwindling. For the past 2 weekends, or at least this last weekend, we had to move off courts because Diamond Hills reserved 4 of the courts here so that the local citizens couldn't play. And however, on other weekends, there's maybe, I don't know, 20 people max, or maybe 15, so they're really not getting that much in way of usage here. But I also play pickleball, and I agree that it's becoming less fun because you go down, there's 25 people wanting to play on 2 courts, and you play every 45 minutes and stuff. To my mind, there's a much, much bigger demand for pickleball than there is tennis.
It's the fastest growing recreational sport in the United States.
Yeah, I've been playing since 1980, so yeah, that's good. Any other comments?
Hi. Can you tell me how is the budget allocated? Is there so much allocated every year for recreation? Is so much for tennis and so much? Has anything been allocated? This is kind of been going on for 2 years.
seems like the there's 8 hours of sunlight to 10 hours of sunlight, and they're not being used like that. They're being used for a very concentrated time, maybe 4 to 6 hours. And so I kind of wonder why we can't schedule differently in the interim. The second thing is I did notice that the other court, I have a high schooler interested in tennis, and so it's convenient for us to walk over to that park, and we've been playing very casually, teaching him some basics. And I was trying to figure out, I know it's probably not competitive, and I saw some of the cracks or those things that are occurring there with the sediment that happens out here. And so we've done some very simple repairs in the past. They're expensive, but you know, they didn't last for 5 years or 10 years, and so we need to come up with some solutions with you folks. And you know, there's also people on the west side of town at the other parks that would like to have pickleball. And so how do you, when we do get windfalls, how do we designate those funds? And so those are kind of the balancing act that the board and this committee is charged with, trying to figure out how do we balance those resources. But Mike, or do you folks want to elaborate on our budgeting or how we
The budgeting?
Yeah.
Well, I wish Dina was here, but I'll make a long story short. We're not a city, we're a district. And we have limited powers within the district and things that we're responsible for. So we're responsible for water and wastewater. Now, and ratepayers pay for the water and wastewater, and all those funds are restricted. So any ratepayer dollar that comes in to our district has to be spent on water and wastewater. It can't be spent in other ways, like a general fund in a city can be spent. So we also have, we've taken on park and recreation, and we've taken on lighting and landscaping. Now the lighting and landscaping, now for park and recreation, we have no way of generating any money for park and recreation other than through donations or windfalls, like you mentioned with PG&E. We'd squeeze some money out of PG&E to make improvements here, and those monies were dedicated here, but it has no separate funding source. There's no assessment that's being paid into park and recreation. Now there are assessments for Zone 8, and Zone 8 is for lighting and landscaping. Well, we've treated that lighting and landscape money as quasi-general fund money. We have some freedom to spend that money a little with a little greater discretion than we do with water and wastewater. So we, and you guys can correct me on any of this, but I'm out of flow. And so what happens is that we try to fund as much as we can to have self-sustaining programs here at the community center. But the fact of the matter is it costs us more to run this community center and some of the programs than what we bring in. So we take money out of the lighting and landscape funds in order to supplement the community center and the tennis courts and all of these kind of things. And there's only a limited amount of funds that come through Zone 8, which we spend this money on, right? It's all Zone 8 money, which is essentially us that live right here in this part of town. It doesn't include the west side of town. They have other zones that pay for their stuff, sort of. So it becomes very complicated in the limited amount of funds that we have. We're going to talk later about a pool, you know, what it costs to get this pool up and, you know, refurbished and up and running so that I don't have personnel, you know, coming in on Saturday. And everything becomes a trade-off. That's my spiel on that.
Negative revenue situation with the community center, about $180,000 a year, and we have to find a solution for that. And as been said, there is no recreation. Now, I agree with your concept 100%. I think it makes good sense. However, it's all about the money. You mentioned maybe upgrades and stuff and put to the community, you know, your private club and all that, contribute funds to help solve those problems. Certainly, if you guys would organize or hold a fundraiser or do whatever, and you had certain funds allocated, there could be a partnership worked out legally that those funds specifically go to pickleball, 100%. And those funds would then be allocated the way that you would like them allocated. Not, yeah, we have to vote on it, but if you're bringing
starting point, we worked with Matt and Mike and others to bring this, you know, specific.
Let me say this. I can't endorse that because I haven't had enough input yet. One of the items I would need input on would be the neighbors. Just like a plan development through a city or a county, they're going to put in a new something, build something. That developer has to go out and circulate a petition and allow other the residents that are in close proximity to say, do you agree or disagree, or you're getting comments, because it's going to affect you. It's not going to affect the guy who's 3 miles away. So that would be one item that I would need to have some more information on. We would have to go out and try to get that information. And one of the reasons you had mentioned here that the sound of pickleball versus tennis is doesn't quite work with the tennis player getting that close proximity. I lived on Beaver. I moved from there. I did hear on Saturday mornings the pickleball stuff. I didn't say anything. It's okay. I'm outside. Whatever. But there's other people that are a little closer. So it might behoove you to just do an informal discussion with some of the neighbors around there just to get a good feeling. That certainly changes my perspective. If the neighbors over there are saying, we don't whatever the answer is, that helps make a decision. You know, I'm all for pickleball, that's fine, but I have to take a look at everybody. You know, we represent everybody. And to just say it right now, oh yeah, we endorse that, without hearing from other neighbors, I can't do that at this time.
Could you specify what would be the diameter of other neighbors? Including the space.
It's over 300 feet, everyone.
So yeah, it's up
300 feet.
Yeah, 300 to 1,000 feet. You need to use a little common sense in this one because this is a noise app. So I think my suggestion would be, you might already know it, station a few of your members out and play the game, and they're going to get to a point somewhere that's really insignificant. And you're going to know that's the zone because that's what I'm doing. If I have to go out there and like make a determination myself, I'll go out there and I'm going to go as far as I need to go. Tell them it's insignificant.
Gotcha.
And if you did that, that's one big hurdle to get over. And then the money is the other thing.
All right.
Any comments?
Question for clarification. Moving forward, get all the approval and pushing forward. You're coming off your experience level. Tell us what. Do you have a template format that this group can utilize to address all your questions? A sound ordinance saying 300 to 1,000 feet is a huge parameter difference in change. That's one football field to over three football fields.
You didn't really hear what I had to say. It's maybe more than 1,000 feet, maybe less than 300 feet. It's a sound issue. And at different points up there, some are going to be further away, some will be closer. We can't just draw a circle on the map. But this is
like saying we hear water, sound travels farther over water, not over water. I am a resident on Beaver Lane, so I'm very, we're actually new residents here and enjoying this community and seeing those courts not utilized and being utilized is a very good aspect here. So as a public comment from someone who walks the park almost every day, and there are different times and places, the utilization by the pickleball group, you're saying it's a larger group in a short amount of time, is still more utilization than during the minor spot with one or two people coming over a longer period of time playing tennis. During my time here, it's almost 2 years, I have personally witnessed only two people playing tennis at Cornell. We've also, I've read comments about people complaining about the noise here by the people making noise, not the ball of the conversation. So it's a balancing act, and understand that we do know that the sound travels. But again, if there's something that this group can have to help facilitate a presentation so that we move forward from your group here, from your board, which would be beneficial to this group, so we're not wasting each other's time yet.
Any other comments?
No, I was just going to say that, I mean, Cornell Park has other organized sports that are just as noisy, like baseball. I can hear that from my house.
Hey, let me say this about that. if you move into a community and there's an airport there, and you move into the community, you know the airport's there, so you really can't complain about the noise. There's only one item that's been added to Cornell Park since everybody moved in, and that's pickleball. So that's flying the wing. Like I said, I'm not against pickleball, but you can't use the excuse, well, the noise from baseball, because baseball's been there since everybody moved in. Unfortunately, that's it.
Well, I think I understand your concern. Sound is bigger than DBs. I will get a DB meter and we'll provide.
It's when it gets down to it, a petition circulated and signed by the address of the neighbors up there saying, yeah, we don't have a problem with that, brings a little more input. Sways my decision a lot more than say, well, it's only so many DBs at this, it's only, you can do that. But it's neighbor acceptance is my decision. I don't know, Chris.
Okay, so if we go between 300 feet and reasonable, as we might be concerned.
It's where you can hear this. In other words, you need to put some people out in different areas, play pickleball, and at some point, that person who's over there is going to say, hey, I went this far and I really can't hear, it's not a big deal. Okay, now you know how far that is. Go to the other side. We only need to go this far. It's kind of.
What's going to be an acceptable amount of people that will say it's okay?
I can't give you that number because I don't know how many houses are affected by the noise. So it's a chicken and egg thing. We've got to go out. You need to spend a little time to satisfy what we're going to be asking you to do. If you do it now, then when you come to the full board, we've already got these answers.
I think again, I know where we can go to get information to address all the questions we need to address. So we're not coming back and forth.
Well,
that's just what we're coming
here,
to.
Here's how we're going to have a discussion with staff about Thank this. You. We can't answer that and give you that today. And Matt will be getting back to you with probably some suggestions on here's the next step for you guys in order to get it to us to where we can kind of nod and bob and bring it in front of the full board if you have a chance to work on
it. I think that it's just a natural flow of things. I've been in two communities that have pickleball. Some residents in one community actually sued the homeowners association over the noise. The other one went out, addressed all the noise issues with the neighbors, no matter how far it took, and got a consensus. My question is, if we raised $20,000 or some number such as that and came to you and said that we got the blessing to change Cornell or wherever that may end up being, how is that money spent? Do you administer that money or do we administer it with your blessing? And I know there's some issues about what the town can do and can't do.
Yeah, we'd have to work that out from one way or another to go with one.
Right.
Just for my clarification, there was conversation about also adding an additional board into that grass area at one point, and I don't remember if it was at one of our board meetings. Is there any desire to add to the west another court?
That would be, yeah, I actually see the drawing.
Yeah.
Done.
Is that too far?
The opportunity by the community center came up, and of course that changed the whole view. And there wouldn't be anything wrong with that, except for the cost. You know, we think if somebody asked the question, what would the cost be to do the conversion? Mm-hmm. The current court thing was about $25,000. Four courts would be about $25,000 because of less fencing. Be roughly in that range. That might be $28,000,
it might be
$25,000. And the court building was well over $100,000. So.
Okay. All right. Just trying for my plan.
I actually bid the project out through our town to convert the existing tennis court to four pickleball courts, and my bids came in about $65,000.
Here's the problem with a public project now.
Right.
Well, they all have to be prevailing wage now.
But that's so, why my point is that if it's our money,
we
can pay a permission.
That is a very
tricky one.
Well, I know of a case where there was a community that we just visited that did it through a foundation, and they leased the property to the foundation.
Right.
But that's all tricky stuff, and even when they're talking to me about it, they're blowing air through their teeth. Going, you know, and I don't know that we want to necessarily go down that path, because it could bite you later. So that's a slight potentiality, but from our perspective, we're looking at, if we go by all the numbers and the way we're supposed to do it, we're stuck paying prevailing wage, and that drives the costs up humongous. It's ridiculous. But
it's a problem for me too. I'm a homeowner here too, and I have to deal with paying probably double of what normally would happen with a construction project. I was a contractor for 22 years too, so I kind of know both sides of the pricing. When you get into government projects, the way it is now, we could end up paying, if we didn't go through prevailing wage, we could end up paying a fine that costs as much as
necessary. I understand how the process works. I know the school, they painted the school using volunteers, and and some contractors came in and worked with them and do it. I'm just saying that there should be a way that, aside from the city, maybe it's a 25-year lease or whatever the case may be, to not have.
Yeah, they do, but and that's an attorney question on how you do it and don't get bit down the road.
Right.
But yeah, because they painted it through volunteers, no public funds were expended on the project, and that's the key, of public funds being expended on the project. But when you go through the public, then there's a symbiotic relationship, so there's issues. So
being it's public property, and even with all of our funds, and we work with, say, the Discovery Bay Community Foundation and raise the money that way, and then those funds went because it's property of the city, then we could come up with.
What this one community did was lease it. So it was actually not under city control at that time. But like I said, they take a deep breath every time they tell it to me. So we're not discounting that.
You could donate, of course, to our foundation.
And that's the best idea I've heard yet. But it's a gift of public good.
How do other communities partner with nonprofits such as Kaiser Permanente to go in and bring in an entire new park structure for children, and it doesn't cost the city, it's all 100% funded, and it's back on the city and or community property? How do they do it?
Contractual. There's give and takes in there.
We talked about the school being paid. I've partnered many times with volunteers being part of the process. They've dropped off containers with all brand new park stuff. It gets ripped out. It's on city community property. And all public, it's all volunteer, and it's donations. And the city and the community welcome it because they don't have funds to support it. There's no prevailing wage. It's just funds. Material has been donated, and it's free labor.
this was introduced by Matt regarding having controls for behavior by participants on our facilities. So Matt, please take over.
All right. So timing's everything. This is actually a project that's been on my list for a year and a half or so. So there's no correlation to today's news reports and things going on across the country. But anyway, activity code of conduct. The goal of Recreation Services Department is to provide and promote recreational activities for persons interested in good conduct, fair play, and sportsmanship in a pleasant, safe, and healthy environment. Unfortunately, in today's society, few individuals have become increasingly more vocal and or physical when involved in recreational activities, either as participants or spectators. This creates potential difficult situations for staff, other spectators, and or participants in extreme cases. Law enforcement officials and how to effectively deal with these awkward situations. As a main objective in developing the activity code of conduct, staff hopes to enhance the enjoyment of activity by participants or spectators by outlining an expected code of conduct for activities and programs. Additionally, the activity code of conduct provides town and staff with a set of rules and regulations along with penalties for violations. So what we're looking at is kind of recommend the activity code of conduct be brought to the board for adoption. So, questions?
I think it's a good idea, a great idea. How do we enforce it? In other words, if a staff person is here, whoever, and they engage, which I know in the past, there's some tennis issues, be that as it may. Someone engages and we determine, the staff will determine, you know, that your conduct is not right. You signed this form, you got to leave. And then the person goes, well, I'm not leaving.
And that always is possibly the case. But if anything, it gives us a tool, whereas before, if you were to try to approach someone without it at all, definitely very difficult. But with it, at least you have some kind of leg to stand on to say, well, that's fine, but you know, the town accepts that if you're going to be in our activities and stuff, you do need to appropriately, kind of outline some steps on what it is that the town can do. We've adopted it. It's a policy. And, you know, the fact that you didn't like a particular situation and you went totally off the handle and maybe we had to have the sheriff come in or something to deal with you, we have a better leg to stand on going.
I agree 100%. Right. That's what I'm saying. Even if the full board approved this, that was the next step. And, well, you have to call the sheriff and have him over here. Without the code of conduct, it's kind of she said type.
Exactly, right. And we've even had really extreme cases where I know on previous employers that I was with, we actually had to get a restraining order to keep somebody out of the park for a year, and it was that bad. But it gives you that legal status then to go, you know what? You got to play nice if you're playing in Discovery Bay, and if you're not, you can't be here. And this is pretty common. City of Brentwood, we used it. We've been using it for years. You see it a lot throughout the country these days. Just, you know, little league, softball, any youth sports, those kinds of things. That's where you probably see it more often than not.
Yeah.
We do have some folks in some programs here that it's like, whoa, guys, no.
Why do we delineate alcohol, gambling, tobacco, and marijuana separately? Why don't we delineate all those separately? Why are they grouped the way they are? I don't understand that. It seems like we don't want anybody to be under the influence or consuming or partaking in those activities. Why are they separate? Because I don't see any difference in any of those.
I think it's more a matter, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, is just consolidating, so we're not adding maybe three or four more different paragraphs. It's all kind of, hey, this is the, which page are you looking at?
I'm looking at Section 4 and Section 5.
Okay.
I think sometimes if you just when you have them separated out like that, you can say you're a violation of Section 4, and then rather reading the whole paragraph of the multitude of things, it's a little more specific on what the activity is. It's just a style.
Why don't we just say controlled substance or something? I don't understand why the
marijuana
should be separate. I understand that, but I think that alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana are just all the same, and I don't see any reason why we would put them into the same grouping and the enforcement of that. I don't see any difference in that.
Yeah, I don't understand the problem.
Okay.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but the staff is putting it together.
Well, I think
a couple of
can, this is just a formatting thing. We can move the, we can group the alcohol with the use of tobacco and marijuana products, and we can call it controlled. Well, tobacco is not a controlled substance. Neither is alcohol. Either is marijuana anymore. So,
you have to do controlled substance, you've got prescription drugs. Somebody who legally has prescription drugs, that's a controlled substance.
Right. So we'll figure that out, but we'll group the alcohol kind of with this stuff instead of gambling. I get your point. Alcohol should kind of go with those things rather than the gambling. It's just a style.
Okay, so we're missing something. That's what I'm wondering.
No.
You're probably on the news, but any public comment?
Yeah, and I would add that we're going to change marijuana to cannabis products.
Okay.
Because that's,
so
that's the new term,
Smith
cannabis.
And then,
and then we'll submit it to the board. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Okay. All right, so we're going to wordsmith and then go to the board, right?
Beg your pardon?
Wordsmith and then the board.
Wordsmith, then we'll send to the board.
Doesn't have to come back to us. We wordsmith the way you want it.
This is a great policy.
It does help. I mean, it's no panacea for everything, but at least you have something. So if something does come up, you've got a leg to stand on.
Okay. All right.
All right, good job. Thanks. And now we're going to move on to item two. Staff, please.
Item two, we had Green Play come out when we originally did the community center before my time. And I wanted Max to give you a very short update on what took place then. This particular version of Green Play is to come in and say, you know, how do we engage in programming in a smart way that brings in revenue and essentially is, you know, revenue smart programming to reduce our exposure to taking zone aid money, et cetera. But we'll start it off with Mac, a little history.
Okay, so a little history, again, quarter of a ream of paper. I'll try to be as concise as possible. All right, so background, real quick. Establishment of a community center has always been a vision prior to 1990 here in Discovery Bay. March 16, 2011, Board of Directors appointed a community center committee. In fall of 2011, one of the committee's identified sites became available for sale, which was this site. In February of 2013, the site was purchased. In February of 2013, the district also hired GreenPlay, a national management consulting firm that works with Parks, Recreation, and Open Space to create a conversion plan for the site. The analysis was to identify considerations for moving forward with the operations of the Discovery Bay Community Center, tennis court, and the pool. In development of the conversion plan, feedback was provided to GreenPlay from town staff interviews, attendance by GreenPlay at the community center at the community center committee meeting. Key recommendations were made in the following areas. So there were basically seven overall operational recommendations that came from this report. One was cost recovery, talked about staffing for operations, program fees, instructor requirements, marketing, partnerships. The other was the community center itself. At that time, the proposed renovations were the fitness club across the street had started, and this was a fitness club. So the discussion was, does this become another fitness club to compete with what's across the street, or does it become a community center? There was the overall recommendations for the swimming pool, the desirability of an aquatics, summer aquatics program, the renovations required, suggested hours of operation and staffing. The next one was the tennis complex, suggested programming and fees. Then there was programming recommendations, which talked about instructor qualifications, community needs, meeting space, educational classes, so on and so forth. Then there's discussion in here about programming capacity analysis, so all that technical stuff, scheduling recommendations, sample program offerings, and then there were budget assumptions as well and sample budgets that was all in this report. The remainder of what was in here provided samples of partnership policies, proposal formats, partnership evaluation, sponsorship policy, and all those kinds of things. So in conclusion, the Green Play conversion plan of the Discovery Bay Community Center Pool and Tennis Complex was instrumental in providing district staff and board of directors a guide in setting up the recreation operations currently in effect here at the community center. While most of the conversion plan was implemented, there are a few administrative sections that were not and perhaps could be revisited by staff to determine if there's still merit to any of the remaining recommendations. So that's where we're at now. This was a conversion plan. The conversion plan took place. You have the community center. This was the whole map of how this is all set up right now and running. So the next piece is basically, as Mike indicated, taking it from where do we go from here to the next step. And we've got the issues of the swimming pool, the pickleball courts, how to do funding for both parks and recreation and all the programs and how to really kind of put it together. So Green Play was approached because they did the initial report, so you don't have to back up and just say, hey, we want to take step two. What is step two? Staff kind of suggested, here's some things. That's the recommendation they put forward. Questions? And again, I wasn't here. Brian wasn't here. Mike wasn't here.
Carol was here.
So that's my understanding of how this all played out and where it is based on my reading and research.
The original report is here, and what they talked about is pretty accurate to what the way we're running things and the way things need to be run. But
right, the question that I have, and I always revert back to the money, because that's our elected jobs, right? The money. They had some proposals in there. They had so many classes, they did this, and had this, and this, and this.
Some of
they put together some budgets.
Right.
How did that turn out to reality?
So, essentially, what you see right now is what was talked about in here. So, the town did not know how to do this. This plan helped them put it all together.
Correct.
Did I answer the question?
They had projections on how many classes you would have and how much revenue you would get off of those classes.
Sample stuff in here. It didn't say you're going to have 40 classes and you're going to bring in this much revenue.
It gave you a model, but it didn't have exact projections at all.
No.
It was just examples from other communities.
Correct. And
that was
how
the next step.
Right. And essentially, since I've been here too, it's tweaking things that were started. Again, expanding the aquatics program, offering more stuff. And here it just says aquatics program, and you want to have it so many days per week and something like Carson. But it's vague. It doesn't really talk about, you know, you'll probably want this many staff, and you'll probably want to do this many swim lessons. We're starting to build on the initial stuff that was laid out with this.
Yeah. It mentions in this proposal that one of the items that Green Play would assist with is going out looking for grant funds, et cetera, funding.
Essentially, they're going to help us identify what other communities throughout the United States do. The way he kind of worded it is I said, okay, so we're going to need some help in figuring out what's the best way to fund what we do here in Discovery Bay. He goes, you know, they do it all across the country. So he could come to us with a list of 100 different ways that 100 different park districts in the country fund their programs. And so what we would do then is go in and go, okay, based on this list of 100 that he would share with us, we could go, this 50, not even close, get rid of it. And he could help us narrow down through a board discussion of, you know, we've identified 12 ways that there is somebody across the country that funds their recreation stuff that might fit closely to what Discovery Bay is looking at doing. And then you could go to those folks and go, okay, so that's how they do it. We could probably do it that way too.
Well, because
Discovery Bay will be unique and different for Discovery Bay, as Brentwood is Brentwood, Antioch is Antioch, Oakley is Oakley.
Truly admire your enthusiasm for the recreation department. You're doing a heck of a good job advocating for this program. So do take this to make it.
But
we don't have a record. Our charge is not recreation. So in order for me to say, yeah, this would be a good idea, bring it forward to the board, the workshop idea is great. Have a full board, have staff together, a brainstorming idea. Okay, get all done with that.
We have late dollars for recreation.
Yeah, we don't have the money. And we have hired a grant company. I don't know how far along that.
Yeah. This one, I think, was 10, I think. Original.
Right.
Yeah.
To take the next step, though, with these guys, what was the, do you know what the fee is?
So 75 is for the next one. I believe, if I remember what Dina said, this one was about 10. So this one would be 7,500 to help us identify programs and how to fund as well. That's also in there. And so by having the plan, then you can go, okay, we know what we can do. We've identified those sources of...
Why don't we do this?
Well, we have the money, though, because we've got donations right now for the use. We have $10,000 or something donated right now. Well, didn't the Lions Club just have a big event?
Oh, the big event. That was $6,500. And it went specifically for...
speakers.
It went for the outdoor movie theater setup.
It's
already spent. The stuff's already arrived.
Are we stuck with not being able to get $7,500, Bill?
Well, it's been budgeted.
Yeah, but where I'm at, because it goes back to the money. If they say that they've got, I'll take your example, 100 different ways to fund something, can we do step 1A, which is, okay, we know we've got to come up with the programs, we know we've got to do all this other stuff, but the main, most important thing is to figure out how we get an ongoing way of funding. How much would you charge us to go out and bring back a funding program? I can support spending some funds to give them specific direction because they're in the recreation business, mm-hmm. and if they're nationwide, and if they come back to us, so here's 10 to 15 different ways that your community, because you would be able to give them the constraints we have.
Right.
Maybe we need to give them constraints up front. So here's our constraints, our concerns. Can you analyze that and give us a proposal for X amount of dollars to go out and try to solve this problem?
Okay. I think that partially already addresses your concern, which is they're going to help us identify ways.
I agree, but
you want them to actually
help. I want to do that first. Right. Once we solve the money issue, then I have no problem setting up a 6-hour workshop and doing this and that, because we would potentially have ways to solve the money problem.
Yeah,
it really does any good to spend 6 hours with all these great ideas.
Our biggest problem is Zone 8 funds
Correct.
The community center.
Correct.
And the other zones need to help out.
Correct. So we got to solve that problem.
Yep.
Until we solve the problem, I don't want to spend 6 hours.
And then Greenplay can help us facilitate a plan as to possibilities of how to support a new pool or how to organize that, the public-private partnership. I know you've all got some experience in that, but maybe these guys have a little more depth knowledge of how that looks or how that lease works or how these moving parts work.
Yeah, and that would be 1B. After we solve the funding problem, or at least think we've got it solved, then the next step is, okay, how are we going to spend the funds? But if they're specialists in rec, we're not the rec people, if they could give us a way to solve that problem, maybe it's, I don't know where it's at, South Dakota, I don't know.
Somebody out there.
Well, that's one way. I don't know who's dying and putting their trust.
staff will reapproach Greenplay and say, this is what we're specifically interested in, draw us a proposal on those specific issues.
Right.
And come back to us with your lower price.
Right. If it's $7,000, I ain't buying it.
Staff understands, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're really limiting it on the activities then.
The way I heard this is, can I synopsize?
Yeah,
the way I actually heard this was is that we want to go to them for funding ideas for sustainable recreation program, including such things as what if we had contributors to the program, things that we're capable of putting on that will actually make money for the organization, and how should you channel that money, account for that money, etc. Also, are we maximizing the use of our facility as it exists now in our pool and our tennis courts in a way that's smart, or should we be doing other things with our existing programs where we can get more funding to support for those? So kind of two things. That's kind of more.
Or they may have an operator in their system, in their network that operates community centers where that it's properly ran and it's
Public partnership. Ideas for generating revenue sources to making us self-sustainable.
Before we get too deep into programs, we need to get real deep in money.
Well, right.
That's
right.
However the money is derived. But the end result would be if they come to us with a sustainable financial program, be it added more swim time, added cost more on tennis. But the biggest issue is how do we get over this lighting and landscape zone 8 issue that we have. We're leaving the revenue from our reserves are going down yearly with our current way that we're operating.
I will say this. I had Mac look into this, and your memory's better than mine, Mac, but we turned around and looked at what percentage of a recreation department is self-funding in total, budgeted amount. And so tell them, do you remember your findings on that with other cities, et cetera? We're actually doing very well.
National Parks and Recreation Association does an annual report, and I was just looking at it like a month ago or so, and it kind of takes, in general, the whole country, and it looks at your cost recovery. And if I remember right, it was something like 27% recovery, and based on just, again, quickly looking at numbers, we were at like 34% of cost recovery.
30%. Many of the other were
above average.
20%.
Yeah, and
we're above average, but still,
we
need to squeeze.
Yeah, I understand that programs are not gonna keep this building afloat. That's
right.
Why I'm
right.
So concerned. We've got to have either grants or some kind of a way. Putting a bond out to the community, I don't think it's going to work because they're not receptive to funding for fire, much less funding for.
Well, they might fund for pickleball.
Those people. I don't think there's enough.
One of the recommendations may be. One of the recommendations may be to come back and say, you need to hire a consultant to see what kind of an assessment would fly, where it would fly. So at least we have that answer rather than guessing.
Well, no, I would think that Greenplay, they should be able to figure that out. If they're not in that kind of business, they don't do that kind of stuff, or have never worked in any kind of business to solve a problem. And maybe they're not the
right
company to help us solve the problem.
The hope was, since they did the original, they would understand and they would be able to, but that's a good point. If they're like, well, I talked to them again, maybe we look at it.
There's other people out there.
Well, there are.
I'm not saying it's reinvent the wheel, but
right.
It's the money.
Right.
That's the biggest issue we've got.
Okay.
Do you have any idea if Concord or Dublin operate their own water slide parks, or are those public lands that are used?
Yeah, those are all run by the city.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting business.
Oakley, just kind of reference, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. Oakley actually ran a pool for the city of, or the YMCA ran the Oakley pool until they went out of business.
Meaning the YMCA.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So it does happen, but then that is one of the downsides.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I think for the discussion, let's see, we're going to move on to item four.
So speaking of money.
Your money.
There we go. So just wanted to let you know, we signed off the agreement with the Saturday morning bridge group. And so it's about, I think, $138 check is what we got for our first month of them being in here. I know it's still a drop in the bucket compared to the $8,000 per year if you were to calculate it out, but that's the first that's in there. And then, of course, I've got a whole another list of agreements that I need to start working with people, but at least on that particular one, we've got $138 more than we did last time. So we're off and running. They seem to be okay with it. We've got everything figured out and how the money comes in every week.
They don't pay the late.
So it gives a little buy-in there, so I like that. I like the audience.
Exactly.
Any other updates on that? Moving on, move on to number five, please.
Okay. So on the all right, thanks.
Hey, Bill.
On Monday, the 7th of August, Mike, Dina, and Matt took a field trip to Rio Vista to see their pool. I think if you recall, some of the discussions with the River Otters was, hey, we've been over to Rio Vista. These guys built this pool for $1.5 million. It's great. You guys need to go check it out. All right, so we took a little field trip over there to kind of talk to the folks that were involved with it. Kind of an interesting little setup. Mike alluded to it earlier, kind of the way they got around doing what they did. So it's kind of a three-way group. It was the Community Foundation / Rio Vista Sharks. So there's this little group running around, or two groups, the school district and the city of Rio Vista. So what they did was, background story is, there's some Olympic swimmer that grew up in Rio Vista or whatever, and so swimming is really big for them out there. And when their old pool was really experiencing some problems, sound familiar, not having a swimming pool was not a choice. So this community foundation had been around, basically decided, hey, we're going to raise money for this facility. They didn't raise $1.5 million, they only raised, correct me if I'm wrong, $500,000. And so what they did was, as Mike alluded to, in order to make this all work, the city didn't have any money to do it. The city leased the land to the community foundation after they raised their $500,000. They got volunteers and donations of stuff. They used the old hole in the ground and basically enlarged it to fit the new facility in there. So they kind of, like Mike was indicating, a little shady because you're dealing with DIR, but that's how it worked. They leased it, this group built it, and then the city acquired the facility back after, I think it was a 7-year lease. Essentially the way it works is the school district puts their swim team in there in February, March, April, May, and then after that particular point, the whole summer swim program is run by the swim team. So the swim team runs the swim lessons, they hire the staff, they do everything. All the city does is front $70,000 a year to maintain that facility. So other than the maintenance costs, the city doesn't really have anything to do with it. It's the swim team that runs everything. So the swim team is required to contribute $10,000 a year. Again, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, $10,000 a year. So the actual cost of the city is 60 versus 70. But it still costs them about $70,000 a year, they said, to maintain and operate that pool. The school district is in there the first part of the year, and the swim team takes it till it closes, and then they just seal it up for the winter.
And I would say that this was a a facility of basics. Nice, functional, basic. There was nothing elaborate about it, but it had bleachers, movable bleachers, and it had essentially the masonry brick changing room, bathrooms with a, at the end, a little snack shack kind of scenario. So we wanted to get an estimate on, the River Otters are interested in doing it, so we wanted to do a little fact-finding mission. So we're thinking probably for us, we're looking at $2 million and change to do it.
Did they have a solar or renewable energy sources?
Oh, they were actually, they're working on some kind of plan now to put some solar in there. But let me back up too. What the swim team doesn't also tell you, and I remember this was a really interesting fact, they had a pool, sounds a lot like this one. They redid the pool, they didn't update the equipment. The equipment was all basically a hotel pool on steroids equipment. So they found out shortly thereafter the equipment couldn't handle the new pool, and the city had to go back in and start replacing all the equipment because it was blowing. And so that was kind of an interesting cost that, you know, the swim team talks about, hey, it was $1.5 million. Well,
still retrofit there.
There's all kinds of stuff that was going on. So it wasn't just $1.5 million. But they are talking about some solar, some solar panels to use as shade. I don't know what that will actually do for them, but.
Cut down on some of the heating costs.
It could.
The shade would go over the bandstands and then over another area. What we would probably potentially consider is putting the whole cover over the whole pool that would consist of that, and then the pool could actually be used more than just year round. So, I mean, these are dream things. You know, where are you going to get the money? But
it's a working example. And so, you're the operational costs a year, they were saying about 60 or 70 grand a year is what they're saving right now.
Yeah, they're pretty adamant at 70. The swim team's supposed to kick in 10, so they're actually.
That
60.
Is not personnel or any of those kind of things. That is. Well, it might be some personnel, chlorine, power, all that kind of stuff. And they use existing personnel, and I don't know if any of those costs are attributable to adding those materials.
Did anybody from the River Otter say what to do?
We threw out the offer for Rick Pierce, but he couldn't make it that day, so.
And this was all the last, kind of the last minute, so
we were just
kind of,
we were just
a few days.
It was like, let's go on a field trip, and we did, so.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm glad that there was one word in there that I was happy to hear.
What's that?
Dream.
It's a dream. It's a dream.
And so that's what.
But it helps to see what people have been doing in actual, because you'll hear stories about, well, they did it. Well, we went out there and we talked on how they did it.
$2 million is what it's going to take to put a pool in. The other question I had all around pools, I know that we had issues with our current pool, leaks and stuff. Did we get all that fixed?
One of the items on here.
Any other questions on our field trip? It was interesting, and it's always nice to talk to the source, because when you hear it third hand, it's always just rosy.
Did they issue a local pool contractor, or did they have a recommendation on that?
They got a lot of volunteer stuff, too. So,
I get it.
Again, it was one of those Mike rolls his eyes when he told you about that, because even I'm listening to that going, I don't think that was legit, but... you know, nobody in the town complains. Yeah,
we're
a free judge.
It's a good model. It's interesting.
And I'm sure it only would have taken one person in that town to ruin it for everybody. So,
can we move?
I appreciate the update on that. Let's move on to item 7.
Okay, item 7 is the pool repairs, and we've got. We've got a circulation problem out there. Only 4 of our jets are working properly. The other 6, you can actually pluck them off with your hand. One of our skimmers isn't working. The bond beam is pushing in, cracking on the entry steps, and the tiles are popping, and that's a citation from the county health department. We also need to get a larger tank for holding chlorine that would reduce maintenance costs for all of us, for my crew anyway. I am seeking, I have Corquette Pools who did the plastering of the pool come out, and they can repipe the pool without tearing up the decks completely. What they have to do is take out a 3-foot section all the way around the perimeter of the pool. They have to cut out part of the bottom of the pool to get to the returns and repipe the pool and replaster, retile, coping, and new grab bars to get into the pool. So essentially, the pool itself will be somewhat new and will probably function for a lot longer than it will at its current.
last year and last year.
Yeah, and they suggested that, oh, it was actually, they did that in 2015, just before I got here. They made the suggestion at that time to, when the pole was stripped out, to repipe it. And it wasn't done.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't recall that coming to the board.
Well, that was like $60,000, I think.
Here we go.
No, he spent money to fix the pool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he spent a lot of money.
Somebody could push the needle on it.
I don't know.
We had the funds in the community center funds to do it, and we couldn't get a board majority at the time. Is the pool leaking right now?
Yes.
Okay. Is it less than that?
It was less, but it's back to where it was again.
So what?
You can see air blowing through the jets, the ones that do work.
Now that you've got the, let's say, the latest quote to do the 3 feet diameter there at the bottom, what was the total on that?
I haven't got the total yet. I'm going to have to bring that back. We still have $99,000 in PG&E funds. And if we're going to run a pool, we probably need to repair that pool.
Are you folks of the opinion that this pool is salvageable, or does it make more sense in the long run just to replace it?
I think
I can hear mixed messages.
The pool is salvageable.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's, even if you are going to put in another pool in the future, I think you should keep this one going. You know, when you're looking at $2 million versus maybe $75 to repair this one, that's quite a cost difference.
And we still have the other issues of the funding and that, and it could take years.
Well,
yeah. It could be 6 months or it could be years. Who knows?
And this pool, if the pool doesn't shut itself down, eventually the county will see how it's working and they'll shut us down. So that's
either you spend the money, you can fix it, or you shut it down. There's no happening. You can only coast so long and then run out of gas.
Correct.
And it's running out of gas.
Right.
Yeah. So it,
at E already.
You're on E. Yes, you're on E.
You're on E.
Yes.
That's all that's left in the tank.
If the costs come in reasonable, I think it's something that we should probably put out to bid. You know, if you guys put it, put it through the board, and if you agree to get, if you get enough votes to put it out to bid, I think it'd be a good idea to keep it.
What items on the PG&E list that we have not spent money on? We have that. In other words, if we reallocated those funds,
right?
Whose ops are we doing?
You would lose out on parking lot lights in the front here.
And how much are the parking lot lights?
That we haven't determined yet.
Well, what we put in the budget?
I don't have those numbers with me, but I can put them to you.
I'm just curious.
It's
we don't
not,
have the right here, though.
The best.
We'll talk about that
later.
Once you get a chance.
The best bet would be solar, because you'd have to abandon everything that's here. It's all aluminum wire.
That's what we've done with the other parts.
Correct.
Here's the best.
All right.
We've skipped 6.
All right, we can go back to 6 now. Are we done with discussion on that?
Yeah.
Number 6, please.
Yeah, we've got bids from 2 years ago for painting the front entrance, and they are prevailing wage bids, and they vary from $10,000 to $16,000.
$10 to $16,000?
Yeah, between $10,000 and $16,000. Obviously, we're gonna send it out to bid again, but Dina feels that we can afford to do that.
And that, if I'm understanding this, the current lights that are up there now are kind of falling.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fixed permanently.
That's an additional cost.
Oh.
That's another $13,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're addressing the stucco deterioration.
Yeah, and I found some caps that are fairly reasonable. They only weigh 6 pounds, so something we can install ourselves.
Some decorative items?
Yeah, for the pots that we're taking off. Yeah, masonry caps are actually 90 pounds, but these are. They would be the 24 by 24 is what they are out there.
Really go up 10 feet?
Yeah, I'll
show you some.
Are they like lions or swords?
There's actually a company out of Sacramento.
Oh, that's just a cap.
Like finials? Oh,
yeah,
that's all.
Finials.
Oh, you want lions and tigers and bears?
No, I brought a spear.
He's gave it to him.
I gave it to him.
Some horses or something?
That's a touchy subject.
So if we were to do it all.
Now, these are under $100 a piece ships. So $800 if you cap that front.
So to do it all, we're talking about, to do it all would consist of painting and repairing.
Yeah.
It would consist of capping. It would consist of replacing the lighting, and it would also include, I would want included, getting properly fused.
Electrical.
Yeah, the box.
That's minor.
As long as it's in there, so touch of landscape.
So to do all of that is?
Under 30.
Under 30.
And that doesn't include new landscape beds and any new plants or trees.
We're going to get away from the plants and the trees because the watering of the plants and trees created and contributed to the damage.
Too much water.
Yeah, I mean, it's rusting and it's just
palms
a big
problem. Are dying. I mean, those old palms, don't need to replace them.
The only palms that don't look good are the clean palms, and it's because they're in an 8-foot deep well. That well behind there is empty. And that's actually considered a confined space because there's only one way in and out with the ladder. And you can't go in and out of there technically.
We're not irrigating that, those trees?
Yeah, they are being irrigated, but they're too deep in that well.
To grow properly?
Yes.
But they can be relocated or replanted?
They could be removed.
You know, that entrance is designed for water feature with waterfalls there when they built that.
Yeah, that's probably why they left everything deep the way it is. Yeah, it's 8 foot deep. You'd have to backfill it, probably gravel, put some drainage to get the water out of there.
French drain or something. So you're guessing at the moment is around 30 to do all this stuff.
Yes.
Make it look nice.
Yep.
But not the palm trees.
Not the palm trees. So the physical structure.
Yeah, so when you drive in, it's well lit and.
Right, and which is not to get rid of the rest of the corner, but that still doesn't address any of the landscaping.
No.
And to make the landscaping stuff work, we need to backfill those 8-foot deep things and put in some more soil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. We need that number in the bid, too. Because, or if they're going to, just speaking for myself,
uh-huh.
I don't want to spend a dime unless we make it look like it should. The landscaping, the lighting, everything. Because if we spend all that money,
you're probably getting into the six-figure range to be landscaping the front.
Oh, $60,000 extra? For
no, we got 100.
Well, no, 30.
60.
Oh,
plus 30,
plus
yeah.
60
yeah.
More.
Yeah.
I'm like gosh, I don't know.
Unless you've got some volunteers.
Sure.
We go back to that volunteer. Contractors are expensive.
Well, we're talking just about, all it really needs is the palm tree, right? The palm trees readjust. Is that correct?
No, they want to re-landscape the front, right?
Well, I'm not sure to tear the whole thing out. What I'm saying, I guess fill in with, we probably need to make a field time so we can all get on the same page. But your view of what I'm saying and my view of what I'm saying might be different. And so maybe Chris and I could go with you as part of this committee. We can have a discussion of what we think.
Okay.
You'll come to a conclusion, and from that, then you'll be able to put together a better bid and bring it back. And then if it looks like we're going in that direction, I'll be happy to bring it to the board.
Okay, so what we would do is we would have to have to be a special meeting, which is no problem. We have to agendize and announce
it. Well, it can be on here, and we can just leave from here and go there.
It could be part of
part
this
of
meeting,
one.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But it has to be agendized and all that, so
right.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do it at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. When's our next meeting?
Our next meeting is October 18th.
It's October, so we're getting into...
We're doing quarterly meetings right now, but we could always schedule something sooner. I mean, we'd have a special meeting. We're not going to wait till October.
We wanted to get started on that.
We could do it the next month.
Well, we want to get something.
I'm ready for it. I'm available on next 38th.
Okay. I'll do a special meeting. When were you...
We're not.
Not well
before we redesign it. So we can't I sent it out to bid, so it'd be nice to get started at least by October.
Okay, and if we were to throw in the business of the landscaping part of it, is there still time to get it done before the end of the year, calendar year? Everything?
Before the holidays? Before Thanksgiving?
Well, we have to talk about what you want first.
Before I can
make that judgment.
I don't want to turn up the holidays.
Well, maybe we could meet the next, before the end of the month, maybe?
End of this, well, I'm gone.
Before Monterey,
I won't be here.
The problem is none of us are going to be available until the end of September, really.
Well, then you put it off till after the holidays, and I'll go out there with my glue gun and glue those lights back up, and...
And Uncle Ernie will be out there again, working on it.
I'll just put my Ernie hat on.
It's worth the wait to get it done completely right. And I hate to paint all of this, and now we're tearing up landscaping, and dirt's flying in there, and breaking bolts, and...
Anybody available on the 13th of September?
I'm sure I am.
Thursday?
Pardon?
Thursday or Wednesday? Wednesday?
This is a Wednesday.
Wednesday,
the 13th, and...
14th.
Wednesday or Thursday?
Afternoon.
Wednesday or Thursday? Or?
In the afternoon, on Wednesday the 13th.
Yeah, for our meeting?
Yeah.
That's why we come here.
We can start off here. We can just agendize a special meeting because it's actually a special meeting.
We might just have to put off the project until the spring now, even if we get to. Because the same thing with the roof, we kind of dodged the bullet doing the roof in November. But if we can't. Once the weather cools off, paint's not going to stick to masonry.
Right, well, I'd like to at least get it rolling and we've got a plan so that the community is asking, what about my front? What kind of it's coming.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, did we decide on
Wednesday the 13th? We'll do a special meeting. We'll figure it out.
And
we'll
afternoon.
Same time.
3 o'clock.
Whatever's convenient for you guys. I'm flexible at it.
3 o'clock.
3 p.m.
That'd be great. That's a good project.
Yeah.
All right, great. Thanks for that item. Let's see, moving on. Mr. Davies, where else do we need to go here?
Number eight.
Removal and replacement of the play structure at Ravenswood Park. Update.
Okay, Brian.
Okay. Due to graffiti artists and vandals and deterioration of the existing play structure, and the inability to get parts from the manufacturing in Korea to repair, we're going to send out the bid to do a new play structure, remove the existing one, replace it with a structure that doesn't have so many walls for graffiti, so we can reduce the areas that do get graffiti. That park, for some reason, even though all the homes face the park,
open season.
We have all kinds of problems over there constantly.
Can we have the sheriff's department on notice that maybe they can make a swing through a little more frequently?
Yeah, we've talked to the neighbors about calling all the time and they say they never show up. I said, just keep calling. Keep calling and keep calling and they will come.
Well, where are they calling? Are we giving them the right number to call? I know you just go to dispatch.
That I couldn't tell you.
Well, maybe we can make another loop around there and verify the phone number.
Maybe some good emergency numbers going out with water bills, so that people, because they'll see their water bill.
You don't know, we don't even know the time of day these are happening.
It's mainly nighttime. There's a group of kids, according to the neighbors, that like to drink at night there.
That's the perfect time to get the sheriff.
Is Ravenswood
I know that, Bill, but it's up to the neighbors to call. I don't live in that area.
Oh, no, I understand that.
No, I'm with you all the way, and I don't know why they don't have a neighborhood watch program. There's probably 20 homes that face the park.
You know what? That's a good item for
P6. Yeah, it is. It's a great item for P6.
Set up a neighborhood watch in that specific area.
Yeah, they need it.
When I'm out hunting Sasquatch, I put a special camera that's got a trigger, and I can watch the camera will be triggered when that deer goes by. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the P6 doesn't have that detector available.
They've got money in P6 for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Camera.
But if you have one of those hunting cameras out there, activated by motion.
Yeah.
Perfect. Get two or three of them.
Put some signs up saying under surveillance.
It's set here under surveillance, so that way it's legal in court.
Just for a temporary.
What do you think, Chief?
I think the issue is maintaining it. I think the issue is who's going to monitor it. And I think the issue is where you're going to start. And three, where does the signal come in and how do they get,
well,
you got to wire it over the dispatch.
It's self-contained. You just go to recording. And so when you go over there, it just straps to a tree. Basically, the camera straps to a tree and they're watching animals go by and figure out what time of the day.
Or a light bulb.
Or a light bulb in our case. Put it up high so they can't hit it, then paint it, cover the light bulb, whatever. And then you just go retrieve it. So if you notice they got graffiti, the next morning you go out and pull those cameras down and bingo.
I like the idea. The issue is selling it to the sheriff's department. So I was trying to think of all your
things.
This is
our sheriff's department money.
Right.
So they've got $1 million in the budget over there, specifically for that community. So bingo, D6 committee votes on that idea.
I think Bob Mankin is the chairman.
Whatever.
I will email him and tell him.
Have to use some surveillance.
The Park and Rec Committee is concerned about
it. And if we have a suggested solution for nighttime, but these cameras are set up for night.
Yeah. And I'm sure you know about the outhouse over there too.
Oh,
I heard there was an outbound.
Mm-hmm. How much was that? A couple $1,000?
$2,500.
I can tell you, I talked personally to the sheriff who took that report and said, "I'm getting reports of kids drinking and acting crazy in the park." And he goes, "When?" He goes, "I go by there all the time. I don't see any kids." So directly, he said, "I'm wrong." To my face.
Guys, I'm out playing tennis at Cornell. And there's a cul-de-sac for that parking lot at the end, and the guys back their trucks up, they park there, and they do their thing, teenagers and contractors, and they just do their thing, and it happens every night from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It happens. I have to tell my kid that something else is going on over there, and she probably play over here. It's awkward.
It's
but
illegal
it happens
until
dusk. Until dusk.
Illegal
until
dusk.
Well, the drinking part.
Yeah.
Well, the drinking part is right.
Just firing it up.
So, hey guys, you guys drinking in here?
No.
I don't have a beer. Yeah.
See, Felicity can do a referral to P6.
So, I think Dina said there's money available.
Yeah, we've got a budget of $60,000. So we think that we can get a project in there that's more suitable.
And this is county money.
No, this is Zone 9. This is us.
Yeah, this is it.
But the Zone 9 has good money.
Has money.
We would have good money here, but 80% of my budget goes into this.
That's like our second newest park. Besides Cornell, this would have been the newest facility.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I spent $241,000 on this facility last year out of 300 that I had to spend.
I know.
That's why when neighbors call and they say, "Hey, why isn't this fixed up?"
Because they went into
this. Yes. And I can't, they don't understand that we can't mix money. And
I know. Well,
there's a lot of things
gave a good explanation.
I think we did too.
They understand.
So, I would like to say
the recommendation.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So, and then we'll bring the bids back to.
For board approval.
For full board.
Okay.
That's it. Okay, so we're done with our discussion items. Is there any future agenda items we should consider?
Yeah, address the ones now we've made the meeting.
Yeah,
that go out to the front. That's one of the items.
The cost for repairing the existing pool should be on the next meeting.
Okay.
Yes.
Noted. Right.
Yeah. You know what? Do you think by the 13th you would have the report ready?
It's possible.
We could do it at that.
Yeah, we
need,
could.
We need to let the board
so
know.
A special meeting would be 13th. Agenda. Both items would be agendas.
Yeah, proposal for some.
Do you think the green play guys could have some?
tomorrow or early next
week. Yeah, if they can, that would be.
Yeah, I'm just going to go through. Yeah, most of our discussion things, I was probably, if I have answers, just move it to the